Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award,
Mike. If I can. And I felt like a child in a toy store on Christmas because Vice President Pence spoke with me today. And we'll play some of that interview later on The Savage Nation. Now you say, oh, well, I've seen him everywhere. He's on this show. He's on that. No, you didn't see Vice President Pence the way you're going to see him today. See, I have a way with people that's a little different than everyone else. You know, each snowflake is different. Each human being is different. And each radio host is different. Each radio host, television host, if they're real, gets a different reality out of a real guest. Wait until you hear Vice President Pence with Michael Savage. And you be the judge. You decide. But I was happy because things have changed in America after last night. I got to tell you, I felt like I was back in America again. I felt as though I was back in America again. And Trump, it was like a 4-star, a 5-star appearance. I was worried for him, frankly, as he walked down out of that back room there, down the aisle. I frankly felt it was like a bullfighter going into an arena. I mean, that's what it is for all the presidents who do that walk. But I asked myself whether it was Donald Trump or Barack Obama or George Bush or Dwight D. Eisenhower, FDR, when they walked down that aisle, in case of FDR, of course, roll down the aisle, how do they get the courage to get up in front of Congress and give such a speech? How do they not lose their nerve? And I say to myself, oh, you're asking that question? You're asking that question? How do you do it? How do you get up in front of these people, 20 million people or whatever the number is in the radio? Well, it's not the same thing. Because radio is a sort of hidden medium. You know, I'm talking to you in a studio somewhere. I don't see you. So I don't really know what the audience is seeing or is doing, really. But live audiences are another story. Television is not real. Radio is not real. It's not as real as a live audience. Let me tell you that right now. I've done live audiences. It's a much different experience. But that's the toughest audience in the world. That's Congress, half of whom are drug addicts. Don't even know where they are, either eating sucking candies or drugs. They don't know what they're on. Legal, illegal drugs, sitting in white outfits. No one knew what they were doing last night, the Democrats. Pelosi's face said it all. If you were to do a study of an Egyptian sarcophagus and remove someone from a crypt, it would look like Pelosi. What is she doing, this woman? The minute he finished and the nation was pulled together, even Democrats were pulled together. They were motivated by this man last night. They loved him. Left and right loved him. Left and right loved him. Even those on the left who have brains understood what this speech was. And I got to tell you something. When that grieving widow of the Navy SEAL started to cry and looked up to heaven and spoke to her dead husband, you know, Vice President Pence said to me during our interview, I don't think there was a dry eye in the assembly. I didn't have dry eyes. I was moved to tears. I'm proud to tell you, I was moved to tears. The grieving widow of the Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL William Ryan Owens, and Karen crying as she looked up to heaven and spoke to her dead husband. I was so moved by that. And the audience, even of Democrats, got out of their little shells of hate and applauded for 2 straight minutes. But she didn't, those were not crocodile tears. This was not Maxine Waters. This was not Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi, or Dianne Feinstein, who are even incapable of fake tears. They don't have them anymore. Their tears dried up before they became politicians. And maybe Botox does something to the tear ducts, but there's no real tears there. With the fake thing for immigrants, all these billionaire women, this was the real McCoy. This was a woman whose hero husband fell in the line of duty. And as she shuddered, looking up to heaven, talking to him, the whole world was moved. And that one moment, or those few moments of that Navy SEAL's widow crying there and controlling her tears, to me, was a unifying moment for the nation. And I believe that in seeing that, we understand what is at stake for America. He also had people whose children were killed by illegal aliens. That's right, you heard me. You know, not all illegal aliens come here to work. Oh, no. You know, some come here to kill. You didn't know that? Well, there were parents there whose children were killed by illegal aliens, including an African-American man whose son was a football player and a great student who was killed by a Mexican illegal alien, I must say. He was there. These are the real faces of America that Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow, and the others of the illegitimate, useless left never show you. They don't want you to know about that side of America. But America saw it all last night. Donald Trump was a hero. Of course he was all things to all people. I understand that. I understand it was a chicken in every pot. Everyone heard what they wanted to hear. Everybody got something. I get that. Remember, he's a politician. Never forget that. But in terms of a speech, as a professional speech giver, it was 1,000 out of 1,000. That's number one. So you say, well, what did it really accomplish? The naysayers are saying, what has he really done? What's he really done? Well, my friends, he's raising the spirit of America up by degree. Each time he gives a speech, each time he goes and does a rally, he raises up the spirit of America, makes us proud to be Americans again, lets us breathe freely as free citizens again, lets us understand that this is the greatest nation on earth, and we feel better about ourselves and our nation when he speaks. And you'll see that in order to restore a body, for example, that's falling down or falling apart, whether it be a person or an army, you first have to increase the morale. You have to raise the morale of troops before they can fight well. And the same thing goes for citizenry. You must raise the morale of a citizenry in order for the citizenry to be able to act properly, in order for a citizenry to take their nation back. That's what he's doing. And if only that's good enough for me right now. You know, I don't expect the moon from any one man. But the inspiration that he is inducing in the American people is something to behold, and that's what I saw last night during the speech. Now, of course, the usual leftists were criticizing him. I could play them, but what's the point? It'll only bring you down. It was fabulous. He did some wonderful things last night, brand new things. He presented a bold new agenda. Can he get Congress to pass what he wants? I don't know. He's not Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was a deal maker. Maybe he's better. But he's not LBJ who can get things done right now, because the Democrat left doesn't want anything to get done. But President Trump last night announced that he's creating a new office to help the families of victims who die at the hands of illegal aliens. That's a big one. Do you think that the Democrats will work with the Republicans on immigration problems that actually punishes illegal alien criminals? I wonder. And how soon can we expect to see the wall that we also desperately know is necessary? I loved hearing Donald Trump last night call out radical Islamic terrorism for what it was. Just the other day, his National Security Advisor, General McMaster, said it's not useful to refer to the Islamofascists in such a term. Apparently, Donald Trump didn't get the message. He went out and did what he had to do. He knows what's going on. He knows the danger we are in from this vicious, non-religious group of murderers. The question is, can this president unite this greatly divided nation? I don't know. But I do know that I feel good being an American. I feel good. I feel like I'm waking up in my own country every day. I feel as though the invasion has gone. For years I felt as though a foreign government had invaded America and put a president in there called Barack Obama. I don't need to beat up on this man. 8 years it felt like occupied country. I felt as though I was an occupied country that had been invaded by a foreign force with a foreigner put in to mislead the American people and to denude the military, destroy our spirits, flood us with illegal aliens, and render us not a nation anymore. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like a different person. Every day I wake up, it's a new world for me. And so last night's speech is the topic. And as I said, I had the pleasure of interviewing Vice President Pence just before the show. If I didn't think it was great, you know what? I would have cut it down to 1 minute and run it, but it wasn't worth 1 minute. It's worth every last minute. Wait until you hear the personal interchange between myself and Vice President Pence. It goes all the way down to the dessert of ice cream and chocolate syrup that I had with the president. It all comes back to the person themselves. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. If you care to comment on any of the speech topics, I have many pieces of the speech if you missed it. I don't know that I'll play many of them. I have some of them. Robert, do we have time for a few minutes of clip number one, the highlight reel of Trump's speech before Congress? For those people who have not had the opportunity to see this great president give this great speech, let's listen to a few minutes of last night's phenomenal speech.
Recent threats targeting Jewish community centers and vandalism of Jewish cemeteries, as well as last week's shooting in Kansas City, remind us that while we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms. Our obligation is to serve, protect, and defend the citizens of the United States. We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. Wow. I directed the Department of Defense to develop a plan to demolish and destroy ISIS, a network of lawless savages that have slaughtered Muslims and Christians and men and women and children of all faiths and all beliefs. We will work with our allies, including our friends and allies in the Muslim world, to extinguish this vile enemy from our planet. We will provide massive tax relief for the middle class. We must create a level playing field for American companies and our workers. Switching away from this current system of lower skilled immigration and instead adopting a merit-based system, we will have so many more benefits. It will save countless dollars, raise workers' wages, and help struggling families, including immigrant families, enter the middle class, and they will do it quickly, and they will be very, very happy.
All right, let's pause right here for a minute. I want to make a few other comments. We see on the Drudge Report a stupid statement, Oprah thinking if she could be president. Now, I want to say something about the stupidity of people in the media. Oprah cannot be president. Oprah has no message other than I'm great. Oprah's just an entertainer. She has no message. Sure, she'll appeal to a certain demographic, we know that. And sure, she'll use the demagoguery that she is known for to appeal to a base group of voters who will vote for her. She can't be president. What she's thinking is, well, if Donald Trump, who's merely an entertainer and a showman, can be president, why, I'm Oprah, I'm great, I'm the queen, I can be president. She can't be president! What the hell is her message? No message. Donald Trump has a message, which is why he became president, which is why he excited America, which is how he got over the finish line. And his messaging is very similar to my messaging. Borders, language, culture. What's Oprah Winfrey's message? Does she have one? Does she even know what a nation is? Outside of a mirror, in a green room, can she know what this country really is? Of course not. She's a shill for unreality. He, on the other hand, although he is a showman, certainly got the message. And the message of borders, language, and culture, which I'm proud to tell you became part and parcel of this campaign and this presidency, is now going to resound around the world. And I am so proud, as an immigrant son, to have played a part in this message. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I've climbed the mountain. I'm at the top of a mountain. I can't go any higher. There's nowhere else to go. So I'm sitting here on the top of the mountain. I've been climbing it for 22 years. I don't expect to do any more. Trump's war is coming out in a week or so on March 14th. It's doing very well. It'll do very well. My book. I want it in the hands of as many Americans as I can get it in, because I believe it's a document that American people need in order to know the roadmap of what roads we need to go down in order to see Trump's agenda enacted. when I see the president again, which I hope will happen shortly, I hope that he refers to the book, and I hope we can talk about it. I'm not looking for a job. You know, there are 10,000 government jobs that need to be filled. You know that? You think I couldn't get a government job if I wanted one at a high level? I don't need one. I don't want one. Now, if this opportunity had come along after I gotten my PhD, I'd be on my way to Washington. I'd be glad to work in the sciences. But I'm not 38 years old. I'm not 40 years old. Those days are over. And so what I have right now is what I want. It's what God gave me. He put me here for a reason. And I hope to see the fulfillment of the destiny of my ideas in the next few years. Let's put it to you that way. When that wall starts to be built, I'd like to be there to throw the first shovel full of dirt onto that foundation. That's the one request I would give the president. So I don't want to be an ambassador to Sweden. He didn't offer me that. I'm saying, I'll give you an example. I don't need to be an ambassador to Ireland, although I said to myself, you know, if you want to be an ambassador, which country would you pick? Probably the only country I'd ever want to be an ambassador to would be Ireland. It kind of matches my nature. It's kind of gloomy. The people have a great sense of poetry. But I'm not looking for a job. I would just ask for one favor, which is to be amongst those wearing a hard hat and holding a shovel, tossing the first shovelful of dirt on the first foundational pier for the Great Wall of America. I'll be right back with Vice President Pence. Please be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be on the program.
Well, last night was one of the greatest moments, certainly in the president's career to date, but it was also, as a person watching it on television, I was totally moved by last night, and I think you were as well, especially when the Navy SEAL's widow was honored last night. What was that like, sitting in that room?
Well, first off, let me agree with you. It was not only a great speech, it was a great night for America. What the American people saw, what you saw a long time ago in President Trump, was someone with broad shoulders, a big heart, and a clear agenda to make America great again. He laid out that agenda with specificity. He called on the Congress to come together to move the country forward. And I just have to tell you, it was a privilege for me to be there, and it's obviously humbling for me to be some small part of this administration. But that moment that you refer to, Michael, it was deeply moving to me, and frankly, I think to everyone in the chamber. I don't think there was a dry eye in the House.
I know my eyes were not dry, and I felt the same about what was. I was looking at that, and I said, this has to be one of the most stirring moments. And it wasn't that she was being used. It was that she was being shown for what she is, as a sort of like a spirit of America who sacrificed so much. But let's get back to the speech, if we may, Vice President. People are saying, well, Donald Trump hasn't gotten anything done. First of all, I disagree with that. But even if he's just raising the spirit of America back up by degree, that's what we need first. First the spirit, then we follow with the body. And he's doing that. He is raising the spirit of America. I felt it last night, and I know that you did as well.
I couldn't agree more. And to know the president, and my family and I have had the privilege to come to know the president and his family on a personal basis over the last year. We've seen them when the cameras aren't on. To know him is to know someone who believes in this country. He has boundless optimism. He thinks there's no mountain too tall to climb. There's no challenge too great to overcome. And one of my favorite parts of the speech was when he literally, at the end of the speech, Michael, to your point, spoke about the American spirit, about renewing the American spirit, and he challenged the American people to believe in America again. And yes. I think that's exactly the kind of leadership that has been lacking in recent years, a leadership that believes in this country and its founding principles and in the boundless capacity of the American people to chart a more prosperous future.
Vice President Pence, even the Democrats were moved by last night's shall I say, speech or performance. They were triangulated. They did not know how to react because many of them themselves were stirred by Donald Trump's rousing delivery last night. But getting down to brass tacks, Vice President, I want to ask you as Vice President, and don't, in my opinion, you're not just a small part of it. I think you're a tremendous part of this whole victory that we're experiencing in this country. I mean, you provide a certain, let's say, a different feeling than Donald does. Donald does one thing, you do another, and America sees it all as one whole. But you personally, what are the three most important things that you would like to accomplish over this four-year term? What are the three biggest things you would like to see done in 4 years?
Well, I think that there's no question that the priorities that the president has placed before the American people last night that he articulated in his campaign, I think are the right priorities for America today. First, we have got to put the security of our country first again.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to rebuild our military. The president has taken decisive action to ensure that people coming into this country don't represent a threat to our families and our communities, but that national security, rebuilding the military, having America able to stand tall in, as the leader of the free world once again with the arsenal of democracy restored and able to handle any threats that we face, I think is critical. Confronting and dealing with the crisis of illegal immigration, Michael, I think remains, it was a centerpiece of the campaign. You saw the president last night lay out that agenda again to say we're going to build a wall, we're going to continue to enforce the laws of this country. He has signed executive action that's allowed for the hiring of more border agents, more Immigration Customs Enforcement. Of course, you see the news of vigorous efforts to remove criminals from this country who are also illegal immigrants to in the president's word, to get the bad ones out so they can no longer threaten us. And the part where he had families who we spent time with earlier in the day in the Oval Office, families of people who'd lost their lives to the hand of criminal illegal aliens, I thought was profoundly moving. And lastly, it's about getting this economy moving again. You know, in the president, you have someone who has literally lived the American dream. He knows what makes American free enterprise work. We've already been rolling back the excessive avalanche of regulation under the Obama administration, but the president's call for tax cuts, for rolling back regulation, for common sense in the administration of agencies like the EPA and Interior and others, and then ultimately having the kind of trade deals that put American jobs and American workers first. I would put those three big items. There's more to be done. You heard the president talk about infrastructure. You've heard the president talk about other issues. But President Trump's going to continue to advance all those agenda items, Michael. And, of course, the centerpiece of all of it, the first item up for business, is to repeal and replace Obamacare and to see the way that the president laid out that objective, said we're going to repeal Obamacare. He made the case against it, despite all of those that are trying to argue in favor of it today. The president pointed out what a profoundly failed policy this is, and then he laid out the guideposts for the Congress to replace Obamacare with free market solutions that are grounded in American principles, lowering the cost of health insurance while letting no American fall through the cracks. That to me is the priority today. But it'll be a centerpiece of how we turn this country around for a healthier and more prosperous future.
It's fabulous. It's a very, very robust agenda that you have on those points. For 20 years, I've been preaching borders, language, and culture. I was considered crazy when I started that in 94. But I think the president, as a president, is dreaming in a huge way. And he's talking about all the things that I've lived for all these years. The secure borders, rebuild the military, control illegal immigration, because I must say this, Vice President, I need to editorialize for a moment. Looking ahead, unless we stop the flood of massive numbers of new people who come into this country legally or illegally, who almost always vote Democrat, we'll never ever have a Republican administration. It will be just like California, which is a one-party state. And I truly believe, if I can send one message to yourself and the President, Yeah, the security of the nation, sure, but it's all connected to illegal immigration. I think you all know that, by the way.
We do, and I thought, as I said, I thought last night when the president announced the initiative to have an office that makes sure that we give voice to the families of victims of criminal illegal immigrants was again one of the more moving moments of the evening. But what you heard last night, and I know, and all Savage Nation knows, Michael, you know, you were in the forefront of a call for decisive action in this country to end illegal immigration. We commend you for that.
Wow.
I hope what you saw last night was that President Trump is a man of his word. What he said from the podium before the Congress is exactly what he said as he campaigned for office. Build a wall, enforce the laws of this country, remove criminal illegal immigrants from this country, and drive forward on the basis of the rule of law to end illegal immigration once and for all.
That would be enough for me, and it'll give him another 4 years. Even half the Democrats would come over to his side once they see the benefits to the safety and security and economy of the nation. I just want to say one other thing, Vice President Pence. I had the great honor of being at Mar-a-Lago 10 days ago on a Saturday night when the president appeared. I was hoping he'd be there. I didn't think I'd get so much as a handshake or a hello, but I was lucky enough to be invited to have dessert with President Trump, and he sat with me for over 60 minutes. I thought it was a few minutes. My wife said, you know, you were there over 60 minutes with Donald eating dessert. I said, I know, I don't eat dessert, but I did for him because I couldn't say no to vanilla ice cream and chocolate syrup, even though I haven't had it since I'm a child. He is exactly what he sounds like. He doesn't change privately or publicly, as you said. He's a very honest man. He is what he looks like, and he believes every word he says.
That's such a great comment, and I know how much he appreciates and respects and admires you and your voice in the national debate. But I love you reflecting on that. I got asked on a couple of TV shows this morning about a difference and the different in tone of the speech, and I told people that the president who spoke at the podium last night is the president that I serve with every day.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, he's a man with broad shoulders. He's willing to fight. But he's got a big heart. He loves his family. He loves this country, and he has a boundless confidence in the American people. And I'm glad you got to see that up close and personal. And it's one of the reasons why I couldn't be more excited about the opportunity that we have to turn this country around under the leadership of President Trump and really make America great again.
Well, I'd like to see 8 years of Trump and 8 years of Pence. I think then we can save America. It would be only 16 years that I'm asking for of voters, language, and culture. One last note, Vice President. I know you're very busy today. During the dinner, President Trump saw my family, you know, my wife, my son, and his fiance. He said, get over here. You guys, I want you in the White House for dinner. I have not followed up on that. So if you get a moment, tell President Trump would be the greatest moment of my life.
I will tell him that before nightfall tonight, Michael, and I have a feeling you'll be dining at the White House sometime very soon.
And I hope I get to shake your hand as well. You're a great American, and I truly mean that. This is a great time, by the way, to be alive in this country, to see the renewal, to feel the renewal. I wake up every day feeling as though I'm a child in a toy store, saying I cannot believe everything I've dreamed about is happening. America is back again, thanks to you and Donald Trump.
Well, thank you. It's very humbling. It's humbling for me to be some small part of it. But Michael, we appreciate your voice. We appreciate your leadership. And I'd look forward to the day that I could meet you in person.
That is so great. Thank you so much, Vice President Pence. Thank you for being with the listeners, the millions of listeners of the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bet those bags and puffiness under your eyes are still not going away, right? So many of you are asking Chamonix for a great deal on Genucel. So Genucel is back with a great discount. Look, you don't want to look like Nancy Pelosi before surgery, do you? Genucel is a luxurious treatment with plant stem cells and anti-aging peptides that target puffiness and bags under the eyes. But something new is waiting for you when you order Genucel today. A $50 instant coupon for additional savings on your order. Chamonix will give you Esotique. Esotique. That's Chamonix's anti-aging collagen builder. And for results in 12 hours or less, you'll also get Genucel. Great stuff. Immediate effects is a second free gift. With this deal and today's $50 instant coupon, you can indulge in a two-month supply of three amazing Chamonix products for much less than department or drugstore brands that don't work. So I want you to call 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. Or just go to GenuCell.com now. 800-SKIN-891. Order GenuCell now. Get two free gifts and a $50 instant coupon while supplies last. Write it down, 800-SKIN-891, or go to GenuCell.com now. That's 800-SKIN-891. Write it down, 800-SKIN-891, and bags go away. Now let's go back to the interview with Vice President Pence. I've never had a chance to meet him. I've watched him. I think he's a great-looking man in terms of image-wise. Let's be honest, he looks presidential. Wouldn't you love 8 years of Trump and then 8 years of Pence? You know, we just might be able to save America with 16 years of these two great men. What did you think of that interview? What was your impression of the relationship that you heard emerge between myself and Vice President Pence? Robert on WABC, fire away.
Doctor, for the first time in my life, I'm so proud to be an American, and I want to thank you for all your hard work. That interview just sent chills down my spine, just like last night with the president. Very happy to have you as a sponsor of our great conservative movement.
All right, I'm sending you a copy of the Bible of the conservative movement, Trump's War. Let me say it like it is. It is the Bible of the conservative movement, Trump's War, his battle for America. It's the last shot we got. It's the roadmap. We'll talk more about it as the days go on, coming up to publication March 14th, when I'm going to ask my Savage Army to go into the bookstores and make sure the books are where they belong, up front. Up front in all the bookstores across America. Mike on KSFO Line 5. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, that interview was as smooth as a 30-year-old scotch. It must be incredible for you to have a voice, and everyone's been listening for so long, but now it resonates to the highest level. And I want to throw it back at you and say, what's it like to actually have Pence and Trump now listening to you and conversing with you like if you're sitting across the table and smoking a cigar?
First of all, that's a great line, like a 30-year-old scotch. I've never had one. The oldest single malt scotch I've ever had is a 25-year-old. It is smoother than an 18-year-old, I got to tell you that, but I don't want to get into that. It's a family show. What is it like to have them relate to me as I am, as sort of like the godfather of the messaging that got them where they are? They've been listening for years, obviously. It's almost too much for me to believe it's real. To be, you know, Mike, I sit here in the radio business. You've listened probably a long time in the Bay Area. And I preach the message. And I talk the talk and I walk the walk. And I do it and I do it and I do it. And, you know, for all the years it's been falling on dead ears out here in Mexifornia, with Moonbeam taking us in the wrong direction, with the evil twins running the Senate for all these years, with no voice in the state of California, to finally know that the men who are running America have listened to the Savage Nation just as my listeners have and have taken the message to heart and taken it to the people and out to the world.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Savage States of America.
It's not a joke. It's like a shadow government that I've been running here all these years, when you think about it. Welcome to the Savage Nation. In the first hour, we played my interview with Vice President Pence. You're not going to want to miss it. I will put it up on michaelsavage.com later once we get it downloaded. And, of course, we may play just a piece of the end of the interview in this hour because it got very personal about ice cream and chocolate syrup towards the end of the interview. But there was a lot more there. Now, I could focus on the negativists like Chuck Schumer, who was effectually called a pickle man. Why is this man so obviously hateful? Why is Schumer unable to be a human being? Why can't Schumer stop being a low-life, Lower East Side, crumb-bum pickle salesman? Why can't he become a U.S. senator, join hands with those on the other side of the aisle, and try to save America from the demise that he himself probably caused with all of his cohorts, flooding us with illegal aliens, ballooning the budget, debasing the United States military, being too nice with radical Islam? And so you listen to Schumer, the pickle man cometh. And he has the nerve on CBS this morning to say that Trump's speeches are not attached to reality. Chuck, listen to me. You really ought to see your shrink before long. Because you and Pelosi are not only not attached to reality, you're not attached to unreality. It seems to me you're like gas balloons. You're like two helium balloons that have nothing but hatred coming out of your mouth. Listen to 19. Listen to this for yourself.
Well, you see, with Donald Trump, the speeches don't mean very much because what he says in his campaign at the inauguration last night aren't attached to reality, to his own reality. His speeches are populist. They're aimed at the working folks who supported him. But his governing and what he does is hard right, favoring special interests over the working class.
That's who we are, Chuck. Chuck, we are hard right. The working folks who supported him. To you, we're hard right. When you're a communist like you, when you're a left-wing, red-diaper doper baby, raised and bred in Brooklyn, everyone in the world looks like they're hard right to you because you're all the spawn of Karl Marx. People like you are the spawn of Karl Marx. So to you, anyone who is centrist is hard right. Chucky boy. I don't want to get agitated. It's too good a day. It was a great speech. Vice President Pence was really complimentary in ways that go beyond just symbolism to me. How did you feel about the Pence interview? Susan, WFNR in Virginia, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. What did you feel about that interview?
Oh, Savage, that was so wonderful. I have so much pride for you. I remember one time I spoke with you. I'm your journey girl. I spoke to you and you said, I didn't spend 20 years in the trenches for nothing. And this is all coming together. You being with Trump, our president, you speaking with our vice president. I am an immigrant. This year is going to be my 50th anniversary that I'm in this country. And I love this country. I love our flag. I love our president, our vice president. And you, all the wisdom that you have, that you are giving to them. Right now, it's amazing. And I know I might be a little silly when I say when I see Trump on TV, I throw him kisses and I said, God bless you, your family, and Vice President Pence. I am so proud.
Where, Susan, what country did you come from?
Oh, from the Pope's country.
From where?
From the Pope's country, Argentina.
Oh, the bouncer's country. You come from the bouncer land.
Yes, yes.
Well, if he had any sense, he would have gone into the bar business.
No, I don't want to
He would be a more honest man if he ran a chain of bars in Argentina than proposing communism. Listen, my friend, I'm sending you a copy of Trump's war against the enemies within, Trump's economic war, Trump's war to repeal Obamacare, Trump's war for our borders. Trump's culture wars, Trump's war to restore the military, the war against the war machine, the war against the rhino, the war to restore real science, the war for the First Amendment, the war for the Second Amendment, the war against the deep state, and the battle plan. When I write a book, I write a book. It's not just two covers with empty pages and rhetoric. This is not only the battle plan, it's the roadmap to the future of America. A future in which Chuck Schumer has no future. A future in which there will be no Nancy Pelosi's, there will be no Chuck Schumer's, there will only be Americans. Yes, we might disagree with each other, but we will not just be negative for the sake of negativity. WABC Jerry, line 5, go ahead please, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, hey, I wanted to tell you, this was a conversation between two great men that showed their humility to one another. You both say you have a small part, but you have a large part in all of this. President Trump is making our country proud again. I feel so much better when I wake up in the morning now because we have a future. We know where we're going.
Yes, we have a future. Listen, I see, people don't understand this. It's very easy to get down on Trump and say, what's he really done? What has he really enacted? Is he going to be able to get anything done? Well, the answer is, first of all, he's lifting up the spirit of America. Then slowly he'll enact some of his bills, some of which we won't agree with. There's no question about it. He'll go to the left on infrastructure, and there'll be a lot of complaints about increasing the budget and this and that. So there'll be disagreements. But overall, we know that it's, as Ronald Reagan said, morning in America again. And with Barack Obama, it was morning in America again, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, rather than M-O-R-N-I-N-G. And I surely like waking up every day and knowing that I'm not going to be hunted down by the CIA under Hillary Clinton. And let me be very clear. I know some big people in the media. Every one of them feared that if that woman had won, there would be black cars in this country with hoods in their cars to take away people in the media. You think I'm making it up? I'm not. We all feared that monster, that Evita Peron, taking over this country. And she's gone. She's on the dustbin of history. We're living in a great America right now. And that's something that we should all revel in instead of sitting and complaining that he hasn't done enough. How can anyone who calls themselves a conservative sit and attack Donald Trump and carp about him every day and make believe that they care about the country of America? How can they do that? WDRC Marty, line 7.
Hello.
Marty is gone. Sorry I didn't get that quick enough. How did you feel about the Trump speech? I want to go back to that for a minute. The conversation I had with Pence was great. But the speech that Trump gave last night was the most inspiring speech I've ever seen in my life. Listen to what I just said to you. He exceeded Ronald Reagan in many ways. And the difference here is that Trump is still a young man. And he's got a long way to go, and he means every word he says. See, people say, does he really mean it? Yeah, he really means it. He actually knows the danger that radical Islam poses. He didn't mince words and suddenly say terrorism like Bush the bicyclist. He said it like it is. And he then talked about the illegal aliens and some of the crimes that people have been subjected to. Did you hear when he said, my job is not to represent the world, my job is to represent the United States? Please listen and join me right now in listening to our great president, Clip 16.
Free nations are the best vehicle for expressing the will of the people, and America respects the right of all nations to chart their own path. My job is not to represent the world. My job is to represent the United States of America.
I loved it. I mean, my heart swelled with admiration, pride, and happiness. It's the opposite of what Barry did to us for 8 straight years. It's the reverse of what that clown did. That clown thought that it was his job to represent the world, not the United States of America, while enjoying the largesse of America. He and Michelle abusing us every day. Abusing us with their vacations and their excesses and their disgusting parties in the White House with rap stars and the dregs of Hollywood. They destroyed my love for this country. I didn't think there would be anything left after they got through. Now, if I'm invited to the White House and I'm invited to spend the night, I will have to send one thing in advance, one caveat, to the protocol officer, and it will be, if you're going to put me up in the Lincoln bedroom, I'm going to ask to make certain that it had been fumigated, because the last person that slept there that I know of was Al Sharpton. I must demand fumigation down to the studs before I sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. But on a serious note, his job is to represent the United States, not the world. Obama thought his job was to represent the world. See, he was a world citizen. You know how cool that is, don't you? All the universities say, no, I'm not an American, I'm a world citizen. I'm a world citizen, I'm not an American. Meanwhile, here they are living on the fat of the land there, thinking that it's people in Uganda who are paying their way through college. But let's go back to the number one issue to me, which is national security. Because I said to you, as the campaign was emerging, and Donald Trump was being seen in a different light with each speech, I said, even if we get 50% of what he promises, it'll be great for me. But the number one issue for me is national security. That includes the border. But he also understands the existential threat to our survival that is posed by those who take Islam literally. You can call it radical Islam if you want. But you know something? That may not be the right phrase right now. Of the 1 billion or so Muslims in the world, most are not those who see the Quran in literal terms. They don't kill homosexuals. They don't mutilate their wives, etc. They don't seek out and kill Christians and Jews. But it's the literalists who need to be called out. It's the literalists, those who take Islam literally, who are the threat to our survival. Make no mistake about it, we have millions of them in this country. How many Muslims in this country take their Quran literally and literally believe that it is the word of God when it says to do such horrible things to the, quote, infidel while sitting here and not working, sitting here and collecting welfare, sitting here and collecting food stamps and plotting our downfall? You think I'm the only one who sees that? I don't have to watch a TV show about terrorism to know what goes on behind closed doors. I know it for a fact. But I'm no longer alone. I don't have a moon bat in the White House, or a fellow traveler, even worse. I have a president who understands the existential threat to our survival. And that is why, when he said in clip 10 that he's going to break the back of ISIS, I was so happy and proud. Listen to 10.
As promised, I directed the Department of Defense to develop a plan to demolish and destroy ISIS, a network of lawless savages that have slaughtered Muslims and Christians and men and women and children of all faiths and all beliefs. We will work with our allies, including our friends and allies in the Muslim world, to extinguish this vile enemy from our planet. I have also imposed new sanctions on entities and individuals who support Iran's ballistic missile program, and reaffirmed our unbreakable alliance with the State of Israel.
Wow. Do you know what those words are to the neocon ventriloquists, both in and out of the media? Do you know what those words are like to the liberals like Schumer, who pretends to support Israel because he is of the Jewish faith? At least I believe so, and represents so many Jewish people in New York City. Do you know what it's like to hear a man actually say he supports Israel after 8 years of a president who did everything he could to undermine and spit on Israel? Why are they not cheering? Think about that. The, quote, Democrats, the, quote, liberals are not cheering a statement like that? Well, there are other elements involved. And as I say in the battle plan of Trump's war, Trump will have four things to fight back with. The first three are the truth, the bully pulpit, and the support of the tens of millions of true patriots who sent him to Washington in the first place. He'll need the savage nation to stand by his side, especially now that we've confirmed that even the opinion polls can't be trusted. Page 154 of Trump's War. You'll hear more about it as the weeks go on. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
There used to be a phrase in New York when I was growing up amongst some of the wise guys type that I knew. As I got older, and some of them would say, they were like gambler type of guys, always dressing really well. Some of them were very interesting people, but they had a phrase that went like this: every dog has his day. That's what I kept hearing. And for so many years, I waited for my day. It never came. Little did I realize that I am living in those days right now. These are my days. I waited all my life for these days. Sometimes I feel as though, you know, it's too much or too hard or this and that, I'm not making an impact. Well, now I know I've made an impact with my messaging. And I was reminded as I was thinking of this, to say this to you in this little interval that I have, that it's as though I'm a sculptor who was given or selected a great granite piece of granite to carve something out of. And I've been chipping away at this piece of granite for so many years, and I've gotten so close to the granite, even though it had already formed into this image of liberty, I didn't realize it. I was so close to the stone that I didn't realize I had created the sculpture that I was looking for. I didn't realize that my vision had been completed. It's as though I needed someone to enter the studio and say to me, please step back for a moment. Put down the chisel. Put down the hammer. Just step back and take a look at what you've created. And then stepping back and almost fainting from the image that I've created. That's how I feel today. Take it from my heart, because that's all I can give you. I can't give you any more. I can only give you my real feelings and my real thoughts. There's nothing else I can offer you. And from me to you, that's how I feel today. I think Pence is as authentic as he sounds like. And by his tone and his words, what I heard was a presidency that understands the savage nation really well. And they know what you, the people, really want. I got some emails I want to read you. Shorties from my radio friend, Peter Chalka, man, I've known from the health industry for a long time. He said, your show today is one for the time capsule. And Savage, didn't your psychic friend last year predict a breakthrough year for you in 2017 with a new level of influence, saying that you would become a household word more so than ever? Yeah, he did. The old palmist Vernon Mahalabal. Yeah, he did. He certainly did. And then there's another email from someone who will remain anonymous who said this. Fabulous interview. Congratulations, Michael. VP Pence really gave you a lot of credit for shaping the dialogue and getting Trump elected. Praise well-earned, well-deserved. Triumph of your career to see the communists overthrown. Bing, rimshot. Yeah, that's what it comes down to, the communists overthrown. And unless you have studied communism or lived in a communist nation, you don't understand what I'm saying to you. So many of you say, well, what's wrong with communism? It's a commune. Doesn't everyone just smoke dope and make love and get along? Ask the prisoners of Cuba what they think about communism. All right, we'll move on, you know. So I want to take a couple of calls and then do something else. The time is flying. I don't even want this day to end. You want to hear something funny? How do we get VP Pence on the show? Well, we tried to get him on. The guys tried and couldn't reach anyone, okay? You know it's hard to reach big people in radio unless you're connected. You know, they want to, all of a sudden, out of the blue yesterday, am I right, Robert? They got a call from the White House Radio Communications Division offering VP Pence. I said, wait a minute, how'd that happen? Well, I don't know how it happened. Maybe it had something to do with the Red Sea parting for me a couple of weeks ago. You know, things change when you meet the president. I mean, things do change when you meet the president that he tends to like you. If he didn't like me, I guarantee you Mr. Pence wouldn't have been on the show. So I think you're going to see great things coming in America and on this program over the coming months and years. I think things are going to happen slowly but surely. It's like that sculpture I try to tell you about. Everyone's saying, why didn't he do anything yet? How hasn't he done anything? All of the naysayers. The Botox lady and the pickle man. Why hasn't he done anything? Blah, 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 blah. If you know anything about a boat or boating, and you have a very big boat that you're steering, the first thing you have to know about a big boat that you're steering is you don't make abrupt turns. You make slow, gradual turns. Almost imperceptible movements of the wheel on a ship will have dramatic changes out at sea. Or as I said to you years ago, if you are a navigator or know how to navigate and you know what a compass is like, 1 degree of separation from the straight line that you're running in, 1 degree today, if you take that 1 degree out to sea, it's a very wide chasm between the path you were on and the path you will find yourself on. So even if Trump moves us only a few degrees from where we were, only a few degrees to the right, this ship will be so straight in a few months, and then so much straighter in a few years. That's what navigation teaches us. And that's something that I want to get across to you. Or again, to use the analogy I used in the last hour, which I love, by the way, my sculpture analogy, where I feel as though I've been cutting a piece of granite for 20 years. And I've gotten so close to cutting. Okay, look at it as Mount Rushmore. I'm up on a scaffold, and I'm up there every day. I get up, put on the overalls, go out, you know, have the coffee, whatever. Whatever the rain or shine or the mood or what I have, a headache or a stomach, whatever. I have to get up there and keep cutting the granite. And you get so close to it, you lose perspective. You don't even realize you've finished the piece until someone says you're finished, my friend. Come on off that scaffold and take a look at what you've created. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Marty on WGDJ up in Albany, New York. Line 8, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I listened to the tail end of Mr. Pence's speech with you, and what stuck out to me was the fact where he said that your leadership was helped bring this all about here. But what really sticks out to me is the fact that Donald Trump is putting leaders in every position in his cabinet, and that's what it's going to take to straighten this country out. We need more leaders and a lot less bosses.
You're right about that. I'm going to send you my book, Trump's War, because you're going to see the plan that, frankly, I hope to lobby for in any future meetings I may have with any leadership. To be very honest with you, I'm going to say, here is my vision for America. I hope you get a minute to scan it. I've got little summaries at the beginning of every chapter, you know, and they're called Savage Solutions, because not everyone can read a book, especially in this age of the Internet. What I decided is, you know, a book's passe. Well, each chapter has Savage Solutions. So I'll give you an example. Trump's Economic War, Chapter 2. I have four solutions right at the beginning. Cut taxes, unshackle American corporations and citizens. Oh, you can check that. He said he's going to do it. Two, quit NAFTA at once, just as he did with TPP. Employment mandate for America. Foreigners need not apply. Immediately rebuild infrastructure through private investment. Now, that's such a big story that I don't have time for now. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. But in my Trump's Economic War, I got to tell you something. Many of you were afraid that when he says he's going to rebuild the infrastructure and it's going to cost $1 trillion, that it's going to blow the budget out of the water. What you don't understand is it might be done with private investment. And I have an entire discussion, Mr. and Mrs. Eddie out there, the forgotten men and women of America, how that can be done through privatization. We can rebuild the roads, the bridges, and the tunnels with private investment. Well, let me read you this. Long forgotten down the memory hole is America's former private road system. Private road system. I'll bet you didn't know that for the first 80 or so years after the Constitution was ratified, most roads and infrastructure were built just as Donald Trump is suggesting they be built now, by private companies investing their own funds and running them for profit. Page 38, Trump's War. Listen. Anyone who has driven in the Northeast has traveled on a turnpike, right? You've been on a turnpike. Pennsylvania Turnpike, Jersey Turnpike. But I'll bet not one in a thousand knows what the word turnpike means. Pike is another word for pole. And the roads are called turnpikes because when they were first built, they were all toll roads run by private companies. They'd have a long pole, a pike, across the road. And when you pay the toll, they turn the pike to open the road and let you pass. It's similar to the turnstiles at modern subway systems. You pay the fee, and the turnstile rotates to let you through. Just to be clear, I'm not talking about today's system, where the money for the road is collected in taxes, and the government hires and pays a contractor to complete the road in the longest time and at the greatest expense possible. No, I am talking about private investors funding the roads themselves and taking the risk that the revenue generated will provide a return on their investment. That's what Trump is suggesting. That's how roads were built in this country until the Republicans first gained power after the Civil War. It seemed to work for many generations. Eisenhower is remembered for building the interstate highway system. FDR's New Deal infrastructure program very much borrowed pages out of the Republican Party playbook. But was it really better than the original, more American idea Trump is revisiting now? Maybe it's worth a try to find out. We know that what we're doing now isn't working. It's not like this would be some radical fundamental change. We already have privately owned roads, bridges, and other infrastructure in this country now. We've even allowed foreign companies to own and operate our ports. They're all making profits and providing excellent service while the government infrastructure loses money and is falling apart. What could we possibly have to lose by letting American companies take a crack at this? The Democrats, I write on page 40 of Trump's War, will fight this tooth and nail. They don't even want health care sold in the private market. They're certainly not going to entertain the idea infrastructure can be. Thank goodness Trump's fellow Republicans will come to his defense right. Okay, so you see in Trump's economic war, I tell you what a turnpike is. You've learned that today. And there's a lot more for you to learn in the greatest book I've ever written, Trump's War, and it's a must for you to have. Now let's do something for you that I've meant to do. I have so many great callers, by the way. I could do 5 hours of radio right now. I'd like you to step back for a moment and give me 3 or 4 minutes of your time and listen to the last few minutes of my interview of today with VP Pence. It's very important for you to listen to this. For 20 years, I've been preaching borders, language, and culture. I was considered crazy when I started that in 94. But I think the president, as a president, is dreaming in a huge way. And he's talking about all the things that I've lived for all these years. The secure borders, rebuild the military, control illegal immigration. Because I must say this, Vice President, I need to editorialize for a moment. Looking ahead, unless we stop the flood of massive numbers of new people who come into this country legally or illegally, who almost always vote Democrat, will never ever have a Republican administration. It will be just like California, which is a one-party state. And I truly believe, if I can send one message to yourself and the president, yeah, the security of the nation, sure, but it's all connected to illegal immigration. I think you all know that, by the way.
We do, and I thought, as I said, I thought last night when the president announced the initiative to have an office that makes sure that we give voice to the families of victims of criminal illegal immigrants was again one of the more moving moments of the evening. But what you heard last night, and I know, and all Savage Nation knows, Michael, you know, you were in the forefront of a call for decisive action in this country to end illegal immigration. We commend you for that. I hope what you saw last night was that President Trump is a man of his word. What he said from the podium before the Congress is exactly what he said as he campaigned for office. Build a wall, enforce the laws of this country, remove criminal illegal immigrants from this country, and drive forward on the basis of the rule of law to end illegal immigration once and for all.
That would be enough for me, and it'll give him another 4 years. Even half the Democrats would come over to his side once they see the benefits to the safety and security and economy of the nation. I just want to say one other thing, Vice President Pence. I had the great honor of being at Mar-a-Lago 10 days ago on a Saturday night when the president appeared. I was hoping he'd be there. I didn't think I'd get so much as a handshake or a hello, but I was lucky enough to be invited to have dessert with President Trump, and he sat with me for over 60 minutes. I thought it was a few minutes. My wife said, you know, you were there over 60 minutes with Donald eating dessert. I said, I know, I don't eat dessert, but I did for him because I couldn't say no to vanilla ice cream and chocolate syrup, even though I haven't had it since I'm a child. He is exactly what he sounds like. He doesn't change privately or publicly, as you said. He's a very honest man. He is what he looks like, and he believes every word he says.
That's such a great comment, and I know how much he appreciates and respects and admires you and your voice in the national debate. But I love you reflecting on that. I got asked on a couple of TV shows this morning about a difference and the difference in tone of the speech, and I told people that the president who spoke at the podium last night is the president that I serve with every day.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, he's a man with broad shoulders. He's willing to fight. But he's got a big heart. He loves his family. He loves this country, and he has a boundless confidence in the American people. And I'm glad you got to see that up close and personal. And it's one of the reasons why I couldn't be more excited about the opportunity that we have to turn this country around under the leadership of President Trump and really make America great again.
Well, I'd like to see 8 years of Trump and 8 years of Pence. I think then we could save America. It would be only 16 years that I'm asking for of voters, language, and culture. One last note, Vice President. I know you're very busy today. During the dinner, President Trump saw my family, you know, my wife, my son, and his fiance. He said, get over here. You guys, I want you in the White House for dinner. I have not followed up on that. So if you get a moment, tell President Trump would be the greatest moment of my life.
I will tell him that before nightfall tonight, Michael, and I have a feeling you'll be dining at the White House sometime very soon.
And I hope I get to shake your hand as well. You're a great American, and I truly mean that. This is a great time, by the way, to be alive in this country, to see the renewal, to feel the renewal. I wake up every day feeling as though I'm a child in a toy store, saying I cannot believe everything I've dreamed about is happening. America is back again, thanks to you and Donald Trump.
Well, thank you. It's very humbling. It's humbling for me to be some small part of it. But Michael, we appreciate your voice. We appreciate your leadership. And I'd look forward to the day that I could meet you in person.
That is so great. Thank you so much, Vice President Pence. Thank you for being with the listeners, the millions of listeners of the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage 77 WABC.
You know, we all need medicine. We all need medicine, but prescription medication costs can really add up. Most people don't know that pharmacy prices vary wildly, and insurance isn't always your best bet. With GoodRx, you can stop paying too much for your prescriptions. GoodRx is an easy way for Americans to save up to 80% on their prescriptions. Did you hear me? In fact, most people save at least 49% off of the retail price. And GoodRx is very easy to use. They even used my name. Just text this, GoodRx, that's 466-379, GoodRx, and then you enter the code SAVAGE. Type in the name of your prescription and your zip code. While GoodRx is not insurance, GoodRx prices often beat insurance companies. Don't go to the pharmacy without first checking drug prices at GoodRx, right? GoodRx saves you money. It's totally free. You hear me? No membership required. No need to supply personal information. It's a great advertisement. Just see how you can start to save money on your prescriptions. Just text GoodRx 466-379, then enter the code SAVAGE. That's GoodRx 466-379 on your mobile phone, code SAVAGE. What have you got to lose? Just money to save. Check out GoodRx for your prescription now. It's so simple. Simply text GoodRx, that's 466-379, and enter the code SAVAGE. Try it today. Don't wait. Get the lowest prices. Go to GoodRx today. I'm almost out of time, but when I come back, I want to thank you for listening to my interview with VP Pence, and some of the statements that he made today are like rock solid in my brain. I got to tell you, I realize the impact I've had on Trump's agenda is as clear as a bell. I'll be back to talk more about Trump's war right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael's
Nation. Of course, America is bathing, and I use the word bathing, in the glory of Trump's appearance last night. Trump is like Patton, General Patton, bold and daring. Patton was a very controversial general, but a great general. Trump is a controversial president, but I think he'll be a great president. And Vice President Pence, who was on the show, I played the interview today, is like a quiet force behind Patton. He's like a quiet, rock-stable admiral. In other words, if you were on a giant battleship or an aircraft carrier, doesn't Pence look like if you were casting an admiral, he'd play that role? That's what he strikes me as. broad-shouldered, calm, good-natured, honest, a man that you would trust. That's what Pence is like. And Trump is the daring one, the cavalier, just charges ahead, crushes the enemy, and they can't keep up with him. And that brings us to the speech. You've got the pickle man Schumer from New York just sitting there throwing brickbats that come back to hit him in his own face. You've got Botox Nancy making a mockery of herself, making a mockery of the words Congresswoman. And I think that they're hurting themselves more than they're hurting him. I think more people who were in the middle are now on Trump's side. It's that simple. Now, looking ahead to the future, I see on the top of Drudge, Oprah's thinking if she could be president. Walt Disney's Iger can run. This is stupid. These people are all powerful in their own little worlds. She's all powerful behind a camera. She's all powerful in a radio, in a television studio. What is her message? That I'm great and I lost weight and became a billionaire? Is that a message she's going to run with? She can't win. Iger, let me tell you something. Save your money, Iger. You're a good-looking guy, but you can't win because you have no message. Any actor out there thinking of running, save your money. You can't win. You have no message. What are you going to try? The demagoguery that's been used before? You're going to give away more money to the illegal aliens. You're going to help the poor, free medication. You're going to pay off the college loans. You're going to give everyone a free phone, a free car. What else are you going to do? You forgot that America's changed. And by the way, by the time you run, America will not be the same nation. America will have come to will have awakened to what socialism actually is, and they're going to reject it. Not all will, but most Americans will reject the message of freebies for everyone based on the backs of those who work so hard. The American worker has awakened. The American taxpayer is invigorated. And you can't run if you're going to say to the taxpayer, we're going to milk you like a cow that's dying from overwork. It's not going to work. So no, Oprah, don't waste your time and don't embarrass yourself. Now, what about Michelle Obama? We heard before that she wanted to be president or senator. She can't win either because her message of divisiveness, where every whiny speech she gave was referring to slavery or the slaves built the White House. And how many years can we hear that crap when we know she's the most powerful woman on earth, living a life that a queen can only dream of, and she's hearkening back again to slavery? It doesn't play other than in certain communities and in universities. And so, no, she cannot win the presidency. I think we're going to have at least 8 years of Trump, and maybe some, well, at least, of course, we'll have eight. We'll have maybe eight years of Trump, and then we'll have 8 years of Pence, their worst nightmare. And 16 years of a centrist, I say a center-right coalition is what it's going to come down to. By no means are they a right-wing presidency. It sounds like that if you're a left-wing communist like Schumer. Everyone looks like a communist. If you grew up as a red diaper doper baby, to you, anyone who calls for a nation that has a defined border, you're a Nazi to them. Or you believe in not speaking Esperanto. And if you believe in telling the illegal aliens to learn the language of the land, you're a Nazi, right? That you should learn the language of the land in order to vote. Wow, what a Nazi thing that is. If you're a psycho left-wing, red diaper doper baby. So I think we're in a new world right now. It's a fabulous speech. People are still talking about it. He got a lot of swingers to come over to his side. Now, when I say swingers, I'm not referring to a lifestyle. I'm talking about political swingers. Now, one of the things he said last night was great. Many things he said last night were really important. And I understand it was All Things for All People. Trust me, I got it. I've seen the movie A Man for All Seasons. I've seen the actor. I know the game. I understand many of you think that he's just a con man. You're 100% wrong. Listen to clip 18 where he supports the police. Now, think about this. Donald Trump went out of his way to support the police, which, by the way, makes us all safer after 8 years of Obama's war against law enforcement. If you're in uniform, listen to 18. These are beautiful words.
We must work with, not against, the men and women of law enforcement. We must build bridges of cooperation and trust, not drive the wedge of disunity and really it's what it is, division. It's pure, unadulterated division. We have to unify. Police and sheriffs are members of our community. They're friends and neighbors. their mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, and they leave behind loved ones every day who worry about whether or not they'll come home safe and sound. We must support the incredible men and women of law enforcement.
Now, how does that feel if you're a man or woman who wears the uniform and goes out every day not knowing if you're going to come back? I mean, it must feel great to know that he's got your back. It must feel great to know that you have a president who's not on the side of the thugs who have been conducting a war against you for the last 8 years. You remember Obama? Do you remember what he did almost the first day he arrived on the scene with that beer summit in Massachusetts where he took the side of someone against the police? He started the war right then. And the other wonderful doll who hated the police, who's now cashing in by working for illegal alien front groups, Eric Holder, another one who used race, division, hatred, another one cashing in on his hatred, attacking the police. No, I think you're going to see a new nation. Pence said to me, all of Savage Nation knows, Michael, that you were in the forefront of a call for decisive action in this country to end illegal immigration. The vice president said, we commend you for that. Those are powerful words. Those are etched in my mind. They are so etched in my mind that I'm sending them to my publisher to include in publicity releases for my book, Trump's War, which will be out in only about 2 weeks right now. But I want to go back to the speech last night. I could play the naysayers. All right, I'll play Pelosi. This woman is so irrelevant. If the Democrats want to even be a party, they've got to step away from Pelosi and Schumer. They're not drawing any crowds. Their show is dying. They have no advertisers. They're just not selling. Listen to Pelosi in 21.
Well, I was very proud of the dignity with which our members listened to a speech. It was clearly a bait-and-switch speech, and the president talks a good talk, but the fact is that show us 3 months, almost 3 months since he's been elected, 41 days since he has been president, and we still haven't seen what we're legislators, so you want to talk, show us your proposal, and we'll go from there. He hasn't had a proposal on jobs, on infrastructure, not even renegotiating NAFTA, which he promised.
So here's a woman who will shoot down anything he proposes, and she's saying, show us your proposal. Is she that daffy that she doesn't understand how stupid this sounds? And of course, the Schumer statement that Trump's speeches aren't attached to reality says more about Schumer than it does about Trump, and I won't talk about that one. I love the saying that my job is not to represent the world, my job is to represent the United States. I love that one. Let's hear 16. So inspiring. Let's hear it again.
Free nations are the best vehicle for expressing the will of the people, and America respects the right of all nations to chart their own path. My job is not to represent the world. My job is to represent the United States of America.
Do you know what that sounds like to the New World Order commies in San Francisco? My job is not to represent the world. My job is to represent the United States of America. Do you know what that sounds like to the anti-American crowds in this country, the illegal aliens, the communists, the anarchists? Do you have any idea what that does to them, to hear an American who stands for America? Well, trust me, they don't feel very good. They're getting nauseous. Now, he quoted Lincoln in calling for a reform of our system of legal immigration. This was brilliant. By the way, I understand his brilliant daughter, Ivanka, had a lot to do with writing the speech. She is just brilliant. If she was the chief speechwriter, man, she's a silent star. Listen to clip 14 from last night.
Protecting our workers also means reforming our system of legal immigration. The current outdated system depresses wages for our poorest workers and puts great pressure on taxpayers. Nations around the world, like Canada, Australia, and many others, have a merit-based immigration system. It's a basic principle that those seeking to enter a country ought to be able to support themselves financially. Yet in America, we do not enforce this rule, straining the very public resources that our poorest citizens rely upon. According to the National Academy of Sciences, our current immigration system costs American taxpayers many billions of dollars a year. Switching away from this current system of lower-skilled immigration and instead adopting a merit-based system,
mm-hmm.
we will have so many more benefits. It will save countless dollars, raise workers' wages, and help struggling families, including immigrant families, enter the middle class. And they will do it quickly. And they will be very, very happy indeed.
All right, so he said a merit-based system. I don't know exactly what that means. But I certainly know that an open border is a little different than a merit-based system. Let's put it to you that way. You know, if you come here with a skill that we need and there's no one here who can do it, that's maybe merit-based. Although I disagree that there aren't Americans who can do any one of the skilled jobs that are necessary. The only reason a guy like Zuckerberg has so much money is because there's no antitrust action in America. You and I both know that they're fat like cockroaches who fed on blood. And you and I both know that fat cockroaches like Zuckerberg, fat cockroaches like those pirates who run Google, they must have antitrust legislation thrown at them. Google must be broken up by the new U.S. Justice Department, as does Facebook need to be broken up. Remember, in the early 1900s, Teddy Roosevelt, the populist, came along on a single issue, and it was bust the trusts. What's interesting to me is many liberals remember Teddy Roosevelt's statement, bust the trusts. And here they sit in San Francisco, not understanding that the power that Rockefeller built and the power that J.P. Morgan built with railroads and a coal monopoly were almost nothing compared to the monopolies created by Zuckerberg and those who run Google, those who run Apple, those who run Microsoft, and the other giant companies that are now bigger than most governments. And a sane government has an antitrust division. Otherwise, you have unelected pigs running the country. I'll say it again because it gets me sick to think that greedy pigs like this who don't pay their fair share of taxes, who use every trick in the book to avoid paying taxes, who keep the money overseas, who don't even pay personal income taxes the way you do because their expenses are paid for by the company, and then they take a very small salary upon which they pay a state tax and a federal tax. But they don't take in $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million a year and pay taxes on it. Oh, no. They have every trick in the book in their pocket because they hire former IRS accountants and attorneys to work for these companies to make sure they don't pay their fair share of taxes. And so Bernie Sanders has a message that needs to be heard and applied directly to Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Apple, and the other giant monopolies that are crushing competition. I didn't hear any of that last night, but maybe I'll hear it tomorrow. This is the Savage Nation, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
That's easy to be a naysayer and sit here and put Trump down. He's lying. How's he going to pay for it? He's not a real conservative. Blah, blah, blah. And what do you want, Hillary Clinton for president? All the schmendricks there putting down Trump, making believe they're conservatives? Who'd you want for the presidency? Hillary? Can't they understand that he needs your support? Not just sitting there like a genius attacking him every day, all these conservatives out there? Now, let's go to the callers. They know the truth. They know the truth. Rich on KLIF, line two. Go ahead, please.
Michael, great interview with Vice President Pence. I had tears in my eyes, Michael, as I'm listening to both of you, just like I had tears in my eyes listening to President Trump last night. And, Michael, I just want to tell you the reason why you were able to get that interview. You said it came out of the blue, but it didn't. And here's the reason. Number one, you've been patient, because I know you've been frustrated since President Trump was elected, and you never really got to talk to him, get him back on the show. Number two, you've been a terrific leader, and really prophetic leader, with your books you've written and what you say. But finally, Michael, and this is the most important, I've been listening to you for years. You are a righteous man. You're not afraid to stand up and say what's right. And because of that, the Lord works in strange ways, and he has blessed you. So you were at Mar-a-Lago a while ago. You had a great interview today. And, Michael, you will be eating supper in the White House real soon. I love your show, sir.
Thanks, Rich, from Dallas on KLIF. Staying alive, we'll send you Trump's war. Well, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Nobody does. Nobody knows what tomorrow will bring, let alone the next second or the next breath. All I know is this. I learned patience a long time ago. I learned patience as a little boy. I used to build model airplanes out of all balsa wood and paper, if you can believe it. I don't even know if they do that anymore. I'd get the plans, and I'd get the little pieces of balsa, and it would take weeks to glue together the fuselage, and then you had to put the paper on so carefully to make the thing fly. I learned a long time ago that nothing comes easily in this world. Now, did I think getting this kind of recognition would take this long? Not really, but what did I expect? I wasn't doing it for the recognition. I was doing it for America. Borders, language, culture was created in 1994. It's been in a bottle for 22 years. It's like a fine single malt scotch, and it's time to drink it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let me tell you this. Let me be honest with you. Look, I've climbed a mountain. I'm at the top of a mountain. I can't go any higher. There's nowhere else to go. So I'm sitting here on the top of the mountain. I've been climbing it for 22 years. I don't expect to do any more. Trump's war is coming out in a week or so on March 14th. It's doing very well. It'll do very well, my book. I want it in the hands of as many Americans as I can get it in, because I believe it's a document that American people need in order to know the roadmap of what roads we need to go down in order to see Trump's agenda enacted. When I see the president again, which I hope will happen shortly, I hope that he refers to the book, and I hope we can talk about it. I'm not looking for a job. You know, there are 10,000 government jobs that need to be filled. You know that? Now, you think I couldn't get a government job if I wanted one at a high level? I don't need one. I don't want one. Now, if this opportunity had come along after I got my PhD, I'd be on my way to Washington. I'd be glad to work in the sciences. But I'm not 38 years old. I'm not 40 years old. Those days are over. And so what I have right now is what I want. It's what God gave me. He put me here for a reason. And I hope to see the fulfillment of the destiny of my ideas in the next few years. Let's put it to you that way. When that wall starts to be built, I'd like to be there to throw the first shovel full of dirt onto that foundation. That's the one request I would give the president. So I don't want to be an ambassador to Sweden. I didn't know for me that I'm saying. I'll give you an example. I don't need to be an ambassador to Ireland, although I said to myself, you know, if you want to be an ambassador, which country would you pick? Probably the only country I'd ever want to be an ambassador to would be Ireland. It kind of matches my nature. It's kind of gloomy. The people have a great sense of poetry. But I'm not looking for a job. I would just ask for one favor, which is to be amongst those wearing a hard hat and holding a shovel, tossing the first shovelful of dirt on the first foundational pier for the Great Wall of America. Things have changed in America after last night. I got to tell you, I felt like I was back in America again. I felt as though I was back in America again. And I got to tell you something. When that grieving widow of the Navy SEAL started to cry and looked up to heaven and spoke to her dead husband. You know, Vice President Pence said to me during our interview, I don't think there was a dry eye in the assembly. I didn't have dry eyes. I was moved to tears. I'm proud to tell you, I was moved to tears. The grieving widow of the Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL William Ryan Owens, and Karen crying as she looked up to heaven and spoke to her dead husband. I was so moved by that. And the audience, even of Democrats, got out of their little shells of hate and applauded for two straight minutes. But she didn't, those were not crocodile tears. This was not Maxine Waters. This was not Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi, or Dianne Feinstein, who are even incapable of fake tears. They don't have them anymore. Their tears dried up before they became politicians. And maybe Botox does something to the tear ducts, but there's no real tears there. With the fake thing for immigrants, all these billionaire women. This was the real McCoy. This was a woman whose hero husband fell in the line of duty. And as she shuddered looking up to heaven, talking to him, the whole world was moved. And that one moment, or those few moments of that Navy SEAL's widow crying there and controlling her tears, to me, was a unifying moment for the nation. And I believe that in seeing that, we understand what is at stake for America. He also had people whose children were killed by illegal aliens. That's right, you heard me. You know, not all illegal aliens come here to work. Oh, no. You know some come here to kill? You didn't know that? Well, there were parents there whose children were killed by illegal aliens, including an African-American man whose son was a football player and a great student who was killed by a Mexican illegal alien, I must say. He was there. These are the real faces of America that Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow, and the others of the illegitimate, useless left never show you. They don't want you to know about that side of America. But America saw it all last night. Donald Trump was a hero. Of course he was all things to all people. I understand that. I understand it was a chicken in every pot. Everyone heard what they wanted to hear. Everybody got something. I get that. Remember, he's a politician. Never forget that. But in terms of a speech, as a professional speech giver, it was 1,000 out of 1,000. That's number one. I loved hearing Donald Trump last night call out radical Islamic terrorism for what it was. Just the other day, his National Security Advisor, General McMaster, said it's not useful to refer to the Islamo-fascists in such a term. Apparently, Donald Trump didn't get the message. He went out and did what he had to do. He knows what's going on. He knows the danger we are in from this vicious, non-religious group of murderers. The question is, can this president unite this greatly divided nation? I don't know. But I do know that I feel good being an American. I feel good. I feel like I'm waking up in my own country every day. I feel as though the invasion has gone. It's, you know, for years I felt as though a foreign government had invaded America and put a president in there called Barack Obama. I don't need to beat up on this man. 8 years it felt like occupied country. I felt as though I was an occupied country that had been invaded by a foreign force with a foreigner put in to mislead the American people and to denude the military, destroy our spirits, flood us with illegal aliens, and render us not a nation anymore. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like a different person. Every day I wake up, it's a new world for me. Trump's war is selling off the charts on Amazon. So people in other... All I care about is that it gets distributed and that the same number of people who bought my last book buy this one within a 10% range. I'm not looking for it to be like off the charts, Greg, because it is the document that everyone's going to have in order to give it to the libs. Once you have Trump's war on your desk at work, get ready to wear body armor. Once you bring Trump's war to a gathering of friends, be sure to bring a bodyguard with you. Once you carry Trump's war with you on a municipal bus in New York City or San Francisco, get ready to have three bodyguards with you. Because the left is so tolerant and so loving. And they believe in freedom of the press. You know, they believe in the First Amendment. But they'll probably beat you up if they see you with my book. They're very tolerant people, the Nazi fascist brown shirts that they are. Now, we'll go on to less important stuff. I get that. But I thought this was funny, and I thought I'd read it to you. You can't always get what you want, can you? So what are you supposed to do when you can't? You get the next best thing. But as Sigmund Freud taught me a long time ago, I didn't know him personally, but he taught it to me anyway through his writings. Sigmund Freud, the great psychiatrist and philosopher, wrote that if one day you wake up and find out that you're only walking on one arm and one leg, meaning you're psychologically not perfect, you know what he said you'd do? He said, learn to walk on one arm and one leg. That's good advice. Instead of complaining about the bad arm and the bad leg, walk on the one good arm and one good leg, right? In other words, hobble if you can't run, but don't stop running.
What's Savage.
So here's a wonderful story to go with that one. You know, the country's filled with illegal aliens, and many of them are emboldened to think that they can just say what they want, do what they want. They have more audacity than most American citizens do. And many of them are big mouths. They come from communist nations. They've been empowered by 8 years of the Mao Tse-tung mentality of the last president. And so they've been demanding, immigration reform, which means granting amnesty. And they're backed by the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, which is a front for a communist organization, in my estimation. They should be looked into. So here's an article just came out in the Daily Caller. Illegal immigrant speaks out at press conference about being illegal, then is promptly detained by ICE. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that make you feel good? An illegal immigrant decided to speak publicly at a news conference about her immigration status today. Well, she was later detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. Daniela Vargas, 22, was detained in Jackson, Mississippi, shortly after speaking at the press conference. Vargas, an Argentine national who arrived in the U.S. at age 7, was previously protected under President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA program. But you see, unfortunately for her, her DACA status recently expired. Her attorney, Abby Peterson, told a local newspaper that her car was pulled over by ICE agents moments after the news conference, and they told her, "You know who we are. You know what we're here for." The press conference was hosted by local churches, immigration attorneys, they should all be arrested, and the Mississippi Immigrants Rights Alliance, a communist front group in my estimation, in order to agitate about recently deported families. It's always about the families, not about the gangsters, not about the criminals, not about the felons. No, it's always about the children, isn't it? The same old game. And isn't it funny that they're using Mississippi? Mississippi, the home of the, movement of the 60s all over again. Well, there she is. There she is. Her father and brother were also recently detained by ICE agents, as they are likewise in the nation illegally. You see, on the direction from President Trump and Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly, ICE has stopped the prioritizing the deportation of only the most serious of criminals. Stopped the prioritizing the deportation of only the most serious of criminals. They're going after, I guess, people who are less seriously criminal, like communist agitators who think that they're protected. Well, they're not. Vargas's attorney told a local paper, quote, "The concern is, with the priorities as they were set forth in the executive order, people who are not criminals, people who have not been convicted, people who have not even been charged will be swept up by ICE at the same time as violent criminals," close quote. I have this to say to her attorney. You're next. You're next because you know as an immigration attorney what you've been doing. You know that you're the worst people in America. You know that as an immigration attorney, you have used the law to turn it on its head, and you've used the law to get around the law in order to flood America with non-citizens. The days have changed. It's over. Next, we'll go after the attorneys for doing this to this nation, because it was the attorneys that did it to begin with. All right, let's go to some of the callers on the Savage Nation. WCFO in Georgia, Ted, line 6, what's on your mind, my friend?
Savage, man, thanks so much for help save this country. You were so darn instrumental in getting this great man into the commander-in-chief position. And back on June 1st, I called in and I predicted that he would win. And not only that, I said, Savage, Donald Trump will never turn his back on you, man. And you agreed with me. And
yeah, I remember when you said that. I said, no, he won't. That is correct.
Thank you again. You know, you're speaking for America, man. We love America, and you represent, he represents, Pence represents. When I see the three of you, I see the American flag, man. Y'all got a common bond, and it's the American flag, man. You don't have to do this. Trump doesn't have to do this. It's for the love of America, man.
You are darn right, because if we don't do it, who will, number one? And if no one does it, there's no America, so no amount of success is worth a damn if you're living in a communistic nation. It's that simple. Ted, stay in the line. I'm sending you a copy of my brand new book called Trump's War, out on March 14th. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, we're swinging into the last wonderful, delicious minutes of this drink of today's show. It's a memorable show for me. The 1st of March, 2017. I'll remember the show a long time. It's not so much because Mr. Pence said nice things to me. There was a lot of tonality in this interview that's important for you to hear. It goes beyond just the words. There is an element of the humanity that comes across in a man's voice, as you can tell by listening to this show. I mean, you know, it's the voice. You can hear a lot in the voice. So there was a lot of warmth, a lot of camaraderie, and frankly, some statements were made that will be followed up upon. I know that for a fact. As a side note, I see that the oldest fossil ever found on Earth was discovered, and it shows alien life on Mars likely. And they say that the organisms thrived 4 billion years ago. I guess they looked at them, and they named one of these ancient organisms, and they gave it a Latin binomial, and it's named Weirdus Pelosius. Little did we know that that explains the behavior today. An organism from 4 billion years ago is still operational in the Democrat Party in the form of Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer, functioning as fossils from another message. KSFO Nick, line 3.
I just wanted to say that I listened to the interview. I thought it was outstanding, but in my opinion, it was more than just an interview. It was the Vice President of the United States validating what you've done to help get him and the president elected. So my only question for you now is, are you going to have the meatloaf when you go to the White House?
Well, I already had the ice cream and chocolate syrup, and since Mr. Trump is a big meat eater, so I suspect I'm going to eat meat, which I do from time to time, but I know you're going to eat Trump's War, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, because I'm sending you a copy. I haven't been invited yet. I don't know if how busy he is and whether or not he's going to have time for me. If he does, fine. If not, I've already had the high point. I was with him for that dessert. It's fine. It was a great honor. Oh, by the way, I didn't say this yet. Last night, watching the First Lady come down the aisle first, I felt as though a queen had arrived on the American political landscape. I didn't see a First Lady. I saw a royal figure. The woman was queen-like. Regal is the proper word. Astounding to watch her. And her magnificent presentation, she didn't have to say a word. She projected the class, the dignity that we have so missed in this nation. I doubt very much that we're going to be lectured about things as we were for the past 8 years, nor will we be told about foods that we shouldn't eat, while behind the scenes pizza and hamburgers are eaten. No, I don't think so. I think is what you see is what you get. Great day for me, March 1st, 2017, a day that shall live in infamy. Or shall I say in infamy? Can you say it shall live in infamy? Because it's going to live in infamy. In my mind, anyway. Thanks for listening.
Enjoy.